Thank you. It is a real blessing and a joy and an honor to be with you again. I thank the Lord for His grace and His love, His compassion to me. He's had compassion on me all my life, and He has it on you all the time. I mean, even when people aren't saved and people reject God and people say things and blaspheme and everything that's contrary against Him, and yet God doesn't just strike them down. He wants to save them. He wants to give them every opportunity to be saved and to call on Him. That's all He wants. That's all it takes for you to be saved and born again. You see, and that's why I love to preach. That's why I love to bring the gospel to you. I want you to hear the gospel. I want to preach what God gives me. I want to preach Jesus Christ, because that's the only name that people can be saved by. If you don't believe in Him, I don't mean just in His name. I don't mean in your mind. I'm talking about if you don't believe from the heart, with the heart men believeth unto righteousness. If you don't believe with all your heart that He died for you, that He died and He went to hell for you, He paid the price for you. There's a sin penalty. There's a sin debt that you cannot pay on your own. That's why people die and go to hell. They have an evil heart of unbelief. They don't believe in God, or else they just believe in their own way of thinking. The devil's blinded them, and you see, they think that we're just going to live in this life, and after this life is over, they just cease to exist. But that's contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says that when Adam was created, God breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. You see, and he has an eternal soul, and Adam's eternal soul is still in heaven today as we speak, even thousands and thousands of years ago when he was created, and he died, and he gave up the ghost, and went to heaven. You see, he's still there. His spirit, his soul is still there, and it's going to be there forever and ever and ever, because we're talking about an eternal God. We're talking about one that's the creator, and if we're talking about an eternal God, then he gives everybody an eternal spirit. Whether you're man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter who you are. If you've ever been born in this world and you have knowledge and understanding of sin and right from wrong, God is going to hold you accountable for what you know. And I want to preach the gospel to you. I don't want blood on my hands. I don't want to be accused of not preaching what God gives me. I want to preach exactly what He gives me. And what He gives me usually is the gospel. He gives me what needs to be said. He gives me the way of salvation, because so many people are counterfeited, so many people are blinded, so many people have heard about what being saved is, but they don't truly know what it means to be saved and born again. They just think it's a byword. But you see, being a Christian is not just something you join in. It's not something you put yourself in. You have to be called, first of all. And God calls you by His word, by a minister or a preacher, somebody that's bringing the gospel to you by way of testifying, by way of preaching. Somebody has to tell you what Jesus has done for you. And through that word, through the Holy Spirit of God, He will convict you of your sin. He will condemn you of your sin, and He offers mercy. I'm glad that He does. I'm glad that He offers His mercy. And because we're all guilty, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've lied to yourself. You're guilty before God if you're not saved. If you've never called out to Him out of a sincere heart, out of a heart that was broken. I mean, you were fed up with sin. You were fed up the way you were living. You were tired of wallowing in the mire. You were tired of feeling that the way that you were. And somebody had preached to you. Somebody had told you the way out. That was the way is Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father. No man can go to heaven but by me. You see, if nobody's ever preached to you like that, and you've never been convicted of the way you're living, then you can't make it in. You can't call on Him if you've never heard. And you can't hear without a preacher. And He can't preach except He's sent by God. You see, there's a process. There's a due order. You can't just join. That's not the way it is. You can't just join any type of church, any type of religion. That's not what it's about. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that, and Jesus said Himself, except you repent, you all likewise will perish. If you don't come to Him, repent. That means to turn from your wicked ways. That means you have to do the first part. You have to realize you're a sinner. You can't repent and turn from your ways if you think your ways are right. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are death. You see, the wages of sin is death. You're going to pay for what you do in this life. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow wickedness, And that's what you're going to receive in return. You may not receive it right away. There's people that are getting away with things right now. They're getting by, and they think and they thumb their nose at God, and they say, God doesn't see that. I'm doing this in the dark. I'm doing this in a corner. He can't see me over here. But that's foolishness. The devil has a way of blinding us. I'm speaking from experience. In my own way of thinking, I thought I was okay before I got saved. I mean, I knew better. I'd been preached to. I was privileged enough to grow up in a church where the Word of God was being preached, where people were praying for my soul, for me to get saved. If I didn't have that, I'd still be lost in sin. But I'm glad that I had a preacher that would tell me the truth. And that's how I was. I mean, I went to church every Sunday and Wednesday. I don't remember missing very many services at all. I was there physically in my body, but mentally, I was out who knows where, just out thinking about different things and thinking about what I was going to do later. I didn't really pay attention in church. And in my own way of thinking, I had the devil just lying to me and saying, why don't you wait a little while to get saved? Why don't you wait until you get older? You see, most of these people in here that are saved, they're older folks. They're in their 40s. That's old. You see, you have a strange way of thinking when you're in your teenage years. And that's how I was. I thought 40 was ancient. But you see, that's not the way it is. The devil just has a way of blinding you, puffing you up, making you think one thing, and it's the total opposite. He is the world's greatest counterfeiter, and you can't match wits with him, and neither can I. I know I'm overmatched. Without the Lord Jesus in my heart, without him speaking to me and making the devil known to who he is, and I'm just weak as water, and I'm frail, and the devil will overrun me if I let him. I'm no match for him. He is a mighty foe. He's wiser than Daniel. And we have to be careful about what we pay attention to and listen to. And if you're not saved, you have to be extra careful. And you don't need to run your ways very long because God doesn't owe you another moment. I didn't realize that before I got saved. I was in my teenage years when God started to speak to me and he would deal with me. And I was convicted at around the age of 16. I was convicted of what I was doing. But yet, I still chose sin. That's just the way this flesh is. It's rotten. It dies hard. And I ran in sin for 7 long years before I got saved. I mean, I was 16 years old, and that's a bad time as a teenager. If you're not saved, boy, the devil really starts to work. He starts to puff you up and tell you how much longer you got to live and how you need to live it up. Go try a few things. Experiment. Get out there and do some things. And later in life, you can come to Jesus and you can be saved and born again. Then you can become a Christian and be a light to people. You see, the devil just had me blinded and I just followed right along with it, as young and naive as I was. And I'll tell you, that was the worst decision that I ever made in my life, because I had so many heartaches, so many troubles, so many trials, different things I went through, and it wasn't God's fault. That was my fault. Many people go through things in this life, and the first thing they want to do is ask, why did God do this to me? And I understand why they do, but that's not the way to think. You see, you need to look inwardly. Look at yourself. Maybe God's trying to speak to you. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now, and it's a very fiery trial, and there's things that in your life that God may be speaking to you through. Just take heed. Pay attention. Don't brush it off. Don't just take it as something, we all go through things, and that, this, that, and the other. I mean, don't just pass it off lightly. Really take heed to it. Pay attention to it. Because I didn't do that before I got saved. I mean, things were happening left and right, and the devil's just so good. He blinded me. I had no idea. I was spinning in circles like on a merry-go-round. I had no which way to turn. But I'll tell you, when I finally started going to church, I said, Lord, I need to get back in church and really pay attention this time. I'm sick of the way I feel. I had thoughts of killing myself, just like people today. I mean, there's suicides left and right all the time. People don't have any hope. Nobody's preaching to them. That's the problem. When the man of God would preach, that would give me hope. I would hear about the peace that Jesus gives. I would hear about the love that he had for me, how he died on a cross for me, how he was cruelly beaten to a pulp, all his bones pulled out of joint, all because of my sin. You see, he died for my sin and your sin. He took all that punishment for us. We're talking about a Savior who loved us enough to die for us. I want you to find a friend in your life that would die for you. You probably can't find any. People are too selfish. People are too eat up with themselves. But Jesus wasn't. He was the most meek and humble man that there's ever been and ever will be. He died for sinners. He died for those that are going to blaspheme him, those that are going to speak out against him, those that have hardened their hearts against him, he died for them too. They're never going to receive him. They're never going to believe on him. But guess what? He still died for them. He offers the same salvation to them, no matter who you are, no matter what color, creed, nationality you are. He died for you. He didn't just die for a select few. He died for the sins of the entire world. And by one blood, he made all nations, by the way. There is no separation. There is no foolishness like that with God. God's not a respecter of persons. He loves souls. He created you. He created you special. You see, he took time to create you. He spoke you into existence. And that we just can't fathom that as puny humans. We can't fathom what God has done for us. But I'm glad that that one day, that October 31st morning, I finally came to him just like I was. I finally got totally and fed up with my rotten, stinking self. I finally quit looking at the temporal things of this life. That's what people get caught up in today. People are caught up in the temporal things of this life, and that's easy to do. We live in a temporal world, in a material world, where money is king, they say. Cash is king, they say. You know, and they have all these different things you can buy, but one thing you can't buy is eternal life. You can't buy God's salvation. You can't buy your way to heaven. I don't care how much you give in the offering plate. I don't care what kind of charity work you do. If you've never had your sins forgiven, you've never poured out your heart to God and been broken, contrite about your sins, been convicted, just felt sick to your stomach on the inside from living in sin and wallowing in sin and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I don't want to die in this condition. The man of God said, if I died in this state without calling on you out of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that I'd die and go to hell. If you've never come to him just like that, then I guarantee you're not saved. If you've never had a moment where you were honest with God, and it only takes a moment, by the way. I mean, I prayed the night through. That morning I got saved, I was praying the night before and said, Lord, I hate to fall asleep in this condition because I was afraid to die. I was afraid to die in my sins and go to hell. I felt like my life was coming to an end. But little did I know, when I got saved, my life was just beginning. He gave me a brand new life and a brand new heart. All my intentions were different. All my ways changed. And he did all the changing. I didn't have to do anything but call out to him and say, Lord, please have mercy upon me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd already been preached to. I'd already been prayed over. And finally, I came to him and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I want you to be my Savior. And when I said that and meant that with all my heart and poured out my heart to him, talking to him just like I'm talking to a friend, he saved me, and everything in my life changed, and now I'm walking in newness of life, and I just want to please him who's called me to be a soldier, and he's calling you today. Come to him like you are, and I promise he'll have mercy on you. And I see my time is gone. Pray for us in Jesus' name. Amen.